Well, good morning, and hope you've all recovered from your Thanksgiving. So, we are in the penultimate class, or just to say it in more normal terms, the next to the last class. So, we have been looking at how to respond to our own suffering, and we finished the last of 18 points last week. So I'd like to do just a quick review, because they've been going for like 9 weeks or so, and just to kind of sum it up before we start the next session. So the first point that we looked at was to solidify your spiritual foundation. That was number one, and we said you should read and study your Bible all the time. Every day you should at least read. There's no reason not to. And in my years, I won't say how many, of being a Christian, I've only missed one day of reading, and that was a day when I was really sick, came home from work, fell right to sleep, and didn't wake up till the next day. But, you know, always, even if you just read one chapter, but if you could read through the Bible once a year, even better still. You know, this way you get it all weaves together. The Old Testament and the New Testament are both important. They both tell us who God is and what God is like. So we should read the Bible every day at least. Attend church. You know, we're all here, so of course, as the cliche goes, speaking to the choir. But going to church is key, because God works through his people in our own lives. And if you distance yourself and dissociate yourself from other people, other Christians, God is not going to be able to use them and work through them in your life as much as you'd like. And the third thing was to pray, to be in constant communion with God, to speak to God, to be honest with God, to voice your concerns and your problems to God. And don't try to put on anything super spiritual with God, because he's God. He knows everything anyway. You're not going to pull the wool over his eyes, you know. So keep in prayer and talk to God. Even you get stuck at a stoplight while you're driving somewhere, use that 1 minute to pray. You know, while you're doing the dishes, pray. When you first get up in the morning, ask God to guide you throughout the day and pray. The second was to acknowledge your feelings, to just be honest. There's nothing that's going to be useful about holding in what you're really going through. So acknowledge your feelings to others and to God. But don't make other people just microphones. You know, somebody that you just talk and talk, and everybody you go to, you just tell them your woes. You know, be choosy in what you say and how you say it. But to God, you could say anything, anytime. Number three was maintain your routines. You know, a lot of times you're depressed and things are struggling. You just don't want to get out of bed. You don't want to do anything. Your eating becomes, you know, well, for breakfast I had 2 bags of Lay's potato chips, you know, or something like that. And, you know, lunch consisted of a gallon of ice cream. You know, no, maintain your routines. That's sort of the skeleton that holds your schedule and holds you together. Find joy is number four. You know, look for the positive things. Be grateful in all things. They've found studies, many studies have found that as you are thankful, as you are grateful, as you are joyful, that just increases, and it's in a sort of an upward spiral. So you want to find joy. Number five, again, is take your grief to God. Pray. Go to God. Pray. Look through the Psalms and pray through the Psalms as though they were written about you. So when you read Psalm 13 and David's speaking, pray that as though you are speaking. There's even a book called Praying Through the Psalms. Number six is dealing with grief from the loss of a loved one. And just using that not to think about, woe is me, what have I lost, but in a way, using it to say, thank you, God, for what you gave me. It might have been a shorter time than I had hoped or wanted, but thank you that at least I had that time with that person. Dealing with pain, we talked about. How do you deal with it? How do you work through it and things like that? Number eight was, don't lose sight of yourself by being a people pleaser. Be who you are. Be honest with others. Be honest with yourself. Don't try to become what other people want you to be. Instead, be what God has created you as and strive to become more holy, more righteous, more kind, more humble. Grief in the holidays, you know, don't necessarily give up the holidays because you're depressed or because you're struggling. Instead, maybe change the routine a little bit. You know, if you always made a gingerbread house with that person who's now gone and just doing that would be too much of a struggle, do something different then if you can't do that. But still, you know, use that time to bring joy into your life. Number 10 was suicide is never the answer. You know, three parts to that was this too shall pass. You know, many things change in life. You know, that person moves away. You graduate from school and you're not being bullied again. You know, you get a new job. You forgive that person. That relationship does become reconciled. This too shall pass. Your loss would greatly affect others. When you commit suicide, you're not dying to yourself. Your death is being experienced by other people more than you. And you have to realize that. You're affecting other people. And the third part of that was no pain, no hurt, no humiliation, no betrayal is so deep that it cannot be overcome, because we serve a great God, a God who is omniscient, omnipotent, who knows what you're going through, and who has sufficient and abundant grace to pour into our lives and to comfort us. And so we can overcome anything. Not saying necessarily that if we have, you know, stage 4 cancer and we only have 3 months to live, that God will necessarily miraculously heal us, but what it means is God can give us comfort and joy even in that. Number 11 was do not dwell on the negative. You know, don't pick out every little thing that's wrong and dwell on it. You know, the steak was great, but the string beans were a little overdone. You know, and this next 10 hours is, boy, those string beans, they should have cooked them better. You know, no, focus on the good. Don't always try to play being the victim. Number 12, take care of your physical needs. You know, get enough sleep, eat well, exercise. Do those kinds of things. Number 13 was God's grace will bring you through this. And that's always key, is realizing, take your time, take your struggles to God, and knowing that God is greater than your problem, realizing that you have yourself, you have God, and you have a problem. There's three things. Take that problem and put it on the other side of God, so that it's you, God, and the problem, and God will be bigger. God will be greater. If you switch it and put the problem between you and God, the problem's going to look bigger, and God will be distant. So always put God between you and the problem, and that problem will look small, and God will look big. Number 14, you are not trapped by your past. No matter how many addictions or violence or abuse or whatever it might have been that you've suffered, God can heal, God can restore, God can resurrect and make us, as he says in 2 Corinthians, a new creation. So we are not trapped by our past, no matter how bad it might be. Number 15 was use your own suffering as a means to comfort others. 16 was look to the final blessed hope. Sometimes things are just, you're at the end. You know, you do have that stage 4 cancer or something, you know. But look, things are going to get better. You know, we have that guarantee. You know, it's not like you die and you become like a rock and nothing else exists. No, we will see God face to face. He will wipe away every tear as he promised. And so we do know for a fact that things are going to get better, and not just better temporarily, better forever. You know, for all eternity, we will be in God's presence. Number 17, perhaps seek professional help. You know, things sometimes are beyond what you and your Bible can resolve. This church has great counselors, you know, and there are Christian professional counselors out there. There's addiction ministries, there's grief ministries, there's renewal ministries in this church and in others. Use those. It's a lot of good people who have experienced maybe even the same things that we have. And finally, number 18, realize that you are worth being victorious. If you do not feel that you are worth it, if you feel like you deserve to suffer, if you feel like you should be depressed, you are not going to get better. Realize that as a Christian, we have been made glorious. God has said we are glorified, we are sanctified, we are forgiven. And next week, which is our final class, I'm going to give out a handout on the 30-some transformations that God has made in our lives the very second that we are saved and are born again. So we are truly, we're not just like, you know, we joined a club and now we carry a little plastic membership in our card that says, hey, I'm a Christian. You know, it's much more than that. We have not just joined a club, we have been adopted into the family of God. And it's a great thing in these transformations, they're permanent and they're eternal and they have been done by God. They're not done by us and they're instantaneous. So realize we are God's people. We are worthy of being victorious. And so that leads us into the final conclusion, which as we look up at the slide, it says, we are never defeated until we give up on God. Because God will never leave us nor forsake us. God promises that his grace will be sufficient, that he will be adequate. And so if we ever fall into a state of defeat, it's because we chose to give up on God. But as long as we hold fast, then we know that we will ultimately triumph. And that's why the subtitle of this class was Suffering, and it was a heavenly lament, which means bring your grief, be honest to God. But the second part was a confident victory or confident triumph, because we can be confident in that God will never forsake us. God will always be there for us. So we are never defeated unless we give up on God. We are worth living a life of victory. Do not give in to defeat. Keep pressing on, as it says in Hosea, I think it's 6:3, for let us press on to know the Lord. Because life is going to push against us. Life is going to always want to insert itself between us and God. Culture is going to want to get between us and God. Other people will want to get between us and God. Our flesh will want to get between us and God. So many desires will want to get between us and God. So what we need to do is we need to press on through those things and always cling tenaciously to God, knowing that God will always hold our hand. So we've looked at 18 ways to properly respond to our own suffering, and how you think properly and how you should respond properly to your own suffering. Not all storms come to disrupt your life. Some come to clear the path. And we don't always recognize that when we're in it. We don't see when the winds are blowing and the fire is hot that, you know, hey, this is a good thing. But sometimes those things are clearing the path in our lives. And it isn't until we get past that that we can look back and go, wow, that really was good. That really ultimately helped me out. So yes, when we are in that late stage terminal illness, when we have lost someone close, it's not easy. That pain may never go away. You will think about that every day. But with... there's that. Not all storms come to disrupt your life, come to clear. I forgot to put the word slide in my presentation, and so I didn't. I have to everything has to be laid out for me. So, but we have a God who heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. We can do more than endure. We can find comfort, support, and even joy. Let God be God, and let him and his church be your fortress and foundation. And that word bind up their wounds. It comes from a word that, you know how they would wear those turbans in the Middle East a lot because of the dustiness and everything, and how they wrap that turban around and they bind it to their head? That's the same way, is they bind that turban and it's tight and it's protection and it's comfort. And that's the same word. God binds up our wounds. He wraps himself tight around us to protect us. Because God goes behind us to protect us from the past. God goes in front of us to guide us. God is underneath us to support us. And God is above us to protect us from things that are from ourselves even. He surrounds us as the mountains surround Jerusalem. So God is all around us. God is everywhere in our lives. So that was the 18 points on how to respond properly to our own suffering. Does anybody want to add anything or have anything you want to say, any comments, any questions? Feel free. I'm not going to insult you or anything. So anybody? Anybody who went through any suffering and has anything that God brought them, made a point? I'm struggling up here. I'm mumbling. Yes. Yeah, and he will sustain you.
Do you have any comments or
how you cast your cares upon? Yeah, okay, so the verse is, cast your cares upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. And I forget the other second half of it right now. I forget the exact address. So anybody have any practical thoughts? You know, we don't really do much discussion in my classes. This is a good discussion time. So anybody have any thoughts? Steve, yes.
I think a lot of surrender.
Is what?
Surrender.
Surrender. And yeah. Okay, good. Surrender. Paul?
That's a daily thing. It has to be a daily thing. To cast your cares on the Lord. Oftentimes we want it to be a one and done. Okay, Lord, I gave this to you, and I'm asking you to work this area of my life, to give me strength, to give me wisdom. But really, it needs to be daily. We need to be continuing to cast our cares on him. You know, it's the old joke that I have found that to be so helpful, is just to continue. And sometimes we say these things keep us on our knees, it draws us close to the Lord.
Okay.
The idea is to continue daily to cast our cares.
Good, good, good. Doing it daily. Any, Lynn?
In Philippians, it talks about taking your thoughts captive. And God promises that he will help us.
Louder.
So basically, it's a practice of constantly recognizing where your thoughts are going, where you need to take them captive by using his word as your sword.
Okay, good. So she's saying in Philippians, there's a verse, take every thought captive. You know, and that's a good thing too. And that's a lot of what we covered in here, is finding joy. Because when you're suffering, what does your mind want to do? Your mind wants to be on me, me, me. Look how bad things are going for me. Look what a victim I am. You know, look how tough it is. You know, and you want everybody else to know that too. I mean, at work, you know, if you think that if I'm going to get fired or laid off, people are going to be like, oh, Bob's gone. You know, it's a tragedy. You know, let's rally and support him and they'll hire him back. No, most people are, oh, Bob got laid off. What's for lunch? You know, and that's just how it is. But we want to focus on the things we're struggling with. And that's why I'm saying, don't put the problem between you and God. Take that thought captive and stick with what God wants to say. That's good.
Sometimes when we're going through something, we don't see it, but like 20 years later, we look back and then like, that was such a blessing. That
Yeah, so if she's saying, we look back 20 years on from the struggle and realize, oh, it really was a blessing. It brought me closer to Christ. It burnt that sin out of my life or whatever it is. And that was this point here, not all storms come to disrupt your life. Some come to clear your path. Tom. Yep.
You're not going to get tired of us. But there is a caveat to that. When you pray, believe that He will answer and will provide.
Yeah, so pray. You know, pray without ceasing. God's not going to grow tired of us talking to Him, you know, and not to worry about that. And yes, that is key. Part of casting your burdens upon the Lord is talking to the Lord. You know, being honest with God, not just going, ugh. You know, here I am this morning and my body feels like it's being stuck with 100 pins. You know, it's going to be a lousy day, I can just tell. You know, instead of something like that, it's like, God, I'm really kind of struggling right now as I wake up. But, you know, with you and me, we're going to make it through this day and we're going to triumph. You know, it's just taking it to God. Miracle.
Because no matter what I am personally going through, I know that there is someone somewhere that's in worse condition than I am. And I'm not saying that because I'm happy that they are. No, I'm thankful to God that where I am, I have a home. I have medical facilities available to me. I have medication. It's a matter of what you let your mind sit on.
Mm-hmm.
My glass is always half full.
Good.
Even
yeah.
If I have two drops, it's half full.
Yeah. Yeah. Looking at the bright side, finding joy. Yes, Mark.
Yeah, God's sovereign. He knows everything. Even though we are to go through, we have responsibilities and we need to go through life, and we don't always get maybe a direction. Getting back to what Tom was saying about cast your cares, asking the Lord for wisdom is huge. I've learned that.
Yeah, good. So gratitude, I'll be right there, you know, is important. Being grateful because God has given us so many things. And, you know, one thing you could do if you struggle with trying to remember to be grateful throughout the day is get a journal, a blank book, and at the end of the day or during the day, write down three things that you are grateful for. Now, you may think, oh, okay, well, that takes 30 seconds, you know, to write, oh, I'm grateful that I had a warm bed, I'm grateful for this, I'm grateful for something else. But by doing that, what it makes you do throughout the day is think about things to be grateful for. So you're just not thinking about being grateful for that 30 seconds at the end of the day when you're going to jot down three things. Throughout the day as you're driving, it's like, hey, I made it through three green lights. I'm really happy I did that.
Just to add to what you're saying, try to make each day different
things. Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly.
Make an effort not to repeat it.
Yes, exactly. And it's just amazing how when you know you're going to have to write down three different things, how you keep a grateful eye. You know, I've written a lot of devotions that have been published, over 300 in like Fruit of the Vine and The Upper Room and other things. And what it does is throughout the day, I'm always looking for things that God maybe could give me a devotion for, you know. So I see something happening in a store and I think, oh, how could I use this in a devotion? What did God do in that situation? Whereas if I wasn't doing those things, I wouldn't think it. It'd just be another event in my life that was just mundane and whatever, you know. So thinking of these things is important. Writing them down. It's a very simple act, but it'll get you into a good frame of mind. Write down what gave you joy. I think you were you gonna raise your hand? Good, good, yeah. So as you write down things that are that you're grateful for, review them. It's like, what did God do for me last year, you know, on this day? And you look and it's like, oh yeah, that's right. These three things or five things, God, I'm grateful for. Thank you very much, you know. And as she said, it's things that you're struggling, put them in. Put them in a box, seal that box, seal an envelope, seal whatever it is. Snap yourself out of it and go on. You know, don't get stuck in the muck. You know, God pulls our feet out of the muck. Stephen, then you can go. Yeah, yeah. So keep your eyes on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. I think that's Colossians, you know, looking to the eternal, realizing that's permanent, that will last forever. You know, and this is, as C.S. Lewis said, a shadow land, you know, a struggle.
I was thinking, for me, what's really helped, especially with people Mm-hmm. And sometimes that can really help you with a Christian friend see a different side that you didn't think of and kind of bring you out of your funk. So between God and praying with a Christian friend, you can see the other side.
Yeah, so getting a friend, talking to a friend, praying with that friend makes a big difference. And that comes back to community. That comes back to your foundation of the church. Part of casting your cares upon the Lord is being in the community of believers, coming to church, listening to sermons, studying your Bible, but, you know, being with people like this. This is a really great church. You know, we've got a lot of ministries, we've got good pastors, a lot of really good things in this church, and a lot of good resources that can remain untapped if you don't come out and seek for them. But, you know, there's a lot of good people in this church, a lot of good people that God has given many years of experience, who have walked with God for a long time and can really be there to benefit, to pray, and to help us out. And that's how God uses us, as it says in 2 Corinthians 1, is he comforts us so that he then can comfort others through us. So, you know, anyone else? Come on, somebody. We only have 6 minutes left. I'm not going to start on the next topic. So,
I was just thinking, as you're going through your storm, it may be difficult for us to do, but we should try and focus on what Christ had to go through to deliver us in our salvation. And I know we think of ourselves when we're going through a storm, woe is me, and we pray to God, please deliver me from this. But if we could remember what he had to go through to deliver us, I think we would get a better perspective on how God is working in our lives, and it would be beneficial to us.
Yeah, to focus on Christ and
what he had to go through
for us, and realize that, you know, when we're struggling, a lot of times, and maybe it's just me, but a lot of times I would think, oh, God hates me. Oh, I've done something wrong. God doesn't love me. You know, something, you know, somehow God has forsaken me or whatever. But then always remember, if you ever get those thoughts, remember just one thing, is he died on the cross for you. You know, no matter how circumstances may be betwixting you and may be, you know, crushing you and hammering you, and you may think, where are you, God? As David said many times in the Psalms, why have you forsaken me? Why so long, God? You can always think of one thing. He died on the cross for you. And, you know, he died on the cross for us, but as has been said many times, is that if you were the only person in history to sin, he would have still been whipped. He would have still had thorns pounded into his head. He would have still had to carry a cross. He would have still been nailed to that cross and a spear thrust into his side. He would have still did all that if you were the only person who ever sinned in history. And so as you're struggling, as you're going through these things, And it just seems like, oh God, where are you? Remember, Jesus Christ died and was tortured for you. If that doesn't prove his love, you know, nothing ever will in your life. You know, so always think about that. Thank you, Jesus, that you died for my sins. So, anybody want to say anything else? Yes.
Just can't be fixed. Mm. You know, and I believe that, and I believe it's God's design. Because if I'm truly a believer and he's in control of my life, some things are going to remain broken.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you do with that? You know, and that's something you work through.
Yeah, I mean, as she said, is that, you know, sometimes God does not, he doesn't promise to heal everything. He doesn't promise to fix everything. You know, you may die of that cancer. You may die in poverty. You know, you may never get that great job again. You know, the marriage may never be reconciled or whatever it may be. Your children may never talk to you, you know, or whatever it may be, you know. But we can still find joy in that. Yeah, we can still know, even in that cancer, we do have the blessed hope. We do know that it will get better eventually. And as I pointed out, I think, I don't remember if it was the beginning of this one or the last one, the guy, Paul something, I forget his name exactly, he had polio. He was in the iron lung for, I think it was 70 years, and yet he had a cross with John 3:16. And people said he was one of the most joyful people they ever saw. Because the focus, is the focus going to be on your problem, or is it the focus going to be on God? You know, and if it's on God, he can give you the resources and the joy to overcome anything. And you just got to, it's where your eyes will be focused. But yes, we don't always get fixed. We don't always get healed. Yeah, good, good, good. Yeah, yes, yeah. So he's just trust in God's sovereignty. Know that he's in control. Yes. Yeah.
It is the verse, man.
It is Proverbs chapter 55,
What chapter?
Oh, I'm sorry, Psalms. Do it all the time, just like ShopRite.
Psalms 55.
Psalms 55.
I
was
going to say, I don't have to check Proverbs
55. two more real quick, Lynn and then Steve.
Us in James that'll give us wisdom, but we have to believe so we don't get tossed and blown in the water.
Yeah, so someone said we have to have faith. We have to believe what we're praying, believe what we're saying, believe what the Word of God says. And finally,
as we are
Yeah. Yeah. Never feel like you're the only one struggling, because we've all got our struggles. We've all got our you know, things that are going on in our lives that we're unsure. We may be not confident in ourselves. So many things, and yet know that God is helping each one of us, and we're able to help each other. You know. So why don't we pray and just thank God? Thank you so much, Father, that you are sovereign, that you are the one in control of all things, that you are the Lord of hosts, and that you reign in the heavens. And though Satan may be the prince of the power of the air, but thank you, Father, that you are the king of the universe. You are the one that holds all things together, and that you care about our lives. You see each one of us. You know our hearts, our thoughts, our struggles, our needs, our wants. And I thank you that we can come to you anywhere at any time and spill out our heart to you and know that you patiently listen. I pray, Father, that when we do have these struggles, that we would put you between us and the struggles, that we would set our eyes on the things above, not on the things that are on earth, and that we would fill our heart, we would look to you to fill our hearts with joy, and that we would be grateful every day for all things that you do for us. I pray that we would always be in a good church, and that we would always be in the community of believers throughout our lives, that we would serve, and that we would worship you at all times. Ask that if there is anybody who comes to service today who's not saved, that you would draw them to yourself and save them. And pray that you would use this coming Christmas season to open up avenues to share the gospel with coworkers, with friends, with neighbors, with family members, and that your Spirit would use us to draw them to yourself. I thank you for this time now. Pray that we magnify your name throughout this week. Amen.